Oh, welcome to another edition, actually the final edition for 2020 of Community Tides. We're on alternate Fridays at 12:15 with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and co-host Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to talk about new developments and new paradigms in the new normal facing Jefferson County as we soon roll into 2021, leaving one of the most challenging, devastating years in our history. We'll be back in January, so today Siobhan and I decided to take a look at a year of great challenge, but also a year of how our community has risen to those challenges with new solutions. So welcome, Siobhan.
Thank you, Chris. It's nice to be with you. It's been such a great thing to be able to spend part of this year with you, sharing our community's ups and downs. So thank you for that, for being a bright spot.
Well, thank you. Speaking of bright spots, I want to congratulate you on your recent award, the 2021 Woman of Excellence from American Association of University Women, the AAUW. I want to congratulate you on your award.
Thank you. I have really enjoyed it, and I'm so honored. It's such an accomplished group of local women, and I couldn't be more honored. So thank you.
Well, quite a year, right, Siobhan?
Woo! It's been a doozy. I mean, I think obviously a year of great suffering and challenge for so many, but just incredible stories of community rising up, taking action, and really doing some wonderful things.
Well, that's for sure. And boy, we could just go down a whole list. We'll try to see if we can cover as much as we can. But looking back, in the lockdown started right around March 23rd for 2 weeks in Washington State.
I love that, 2 weeks. It was amazing what we didn't understand at that point.
Yeah, we go back even on mask wearing and just sort of the confusion that ensued on many levels, but how we were so naive only just a short time ago. It seems like we've condensed a part of a lifetime into 12 months.
So naive, but think of how resilient we've been. We've been able to navigate the conversation about isolation and about masks, cleaned our groceries for a little while until we learned that it was really airborne.
Right.
And just working together to really get through this. So our resilience is, I think, something that we should all celebrate.
That's for sure. Well, you know, a lot of creative, you know, the word pivot is being so used so much now, but creative pivoting, especially with education, I think that's one of our greatest challenges.
We have to remember that all of the students were told to go home in March, and we had no idea what was going to happen. 200 young people lost access to their education without the internet, and the families who count on the school-based networks for information and support lost connectivity. And yet our community stepped up. The Interconnected Students Initiative started. Skillmation expanded its mentoring program. Families created their own learning pods, 2 to 3 families at a time, so children could remain connected to their friends. And the schools adapted to online and hybrid learning. I mean, to do all of that in a few short months is just incredible.
That's right. It took the community to help all of this and help to fund it all, right?
That's right. A lot of these efforts were funded through the COVID response and recovery fund, and over $715,000 came through that fund, plus the CARES Act money that came through the government, and OLECAP's additional $350,000 for rental assistance, plus additional funds for financial assistance. It's just what this community has been able to support, all translating all of those dollars into real programmatic response has saved lives, no doubt.
And then finding ways to be sort of, especially for the teachers, God bless them, and the administrators, to have to change on a dime, depending on how the wind was blowing, basically. And so that was pretty amazing, just to see the extraordinary effort of combining whatever tools that seemed appropriate at the time to be effective as educators could be under the circumstances.
All of us can do something to thank our administrators and our teachers. So it's the time of year for gratitude and acknowledgement, and I hope everyone keeps them in mind.
And, you know, another big challenge was food access. And that went across the whole spectrum of ages.
That's right. You know, when the school shut down, all of the children who depend on free and reduced meal lunch programs lost access to that food. And I just love the ingenuity of the schools as they put their dormant school buses to work to deliver food to drop-off points around East Jefferson County and make sure that there were sites where families could pick up food. The food banks did a tremendous job switching from bags to boxes and augmenting their food system so that more people could access their foods and they could do drive-through as opposed to in-person pickup. The folks who use SNAP benefits at the farmers market, you know, briefly lost access to that. The farmers market turned around and started their online shopping feature so that people who needed government assistance to buy fresh local food could not only buy it online, but also could have their SNAP benefits matched through local gifts. So again, another story of an incredible group of folks who were able to rise up and make sure that people didn't go hungry.
Yeah, and just the creative use of resources and sort of finding new ways that maybe, you know, I guess, you know how it is. We get sort of caught in our routines and all the rest of it, even in organizations and so on. And we have a comfort level, but then all of a sudden we got knocked off of our stool pretty good. And it's just amazing for me to see how creative people were, especially the community and in community action specifically, in being able to make all of these changes happen and make them happen pretty effectively. So that's just pretty amazing to me.
And to be so thoughtful about it. I mean, you know,
yeah, I know.
The food banks noticed that some of their older clients were not showing up. And we just want to give a shout out to OLECAP, who made sure to actually do food delivery to folks who didn't feel comfortable coming out of their houses. I mean, we have to be not just wait for people to show up, but go out and find folks who need the help. So extraordinary effort.
That's right. And you know, the other elephant in the room, of course, is housing. And there were some big, big challenges this year, especially with all of the changes happening socially. Corporations finding they get pretty good productivity out of people working out of the house, and so on, so it meant a big change in where people decided they might want to choose to make their nest.
So the fact that Port Townsend and other spots around East Jefferson became what we're now calling Zoom towns. With tech workers who no longer have to go to the office, buying houses at just fast rates and high prices, has really made a bad affordable housing situation even worse. Bayside Housing is now reporting a waiting list for temporary housing for over 200 people, 50 of which are seniors. And, you know, I think we just have to keep affordable housing front and center. And when we talk about resiliency and recovery, here too, though, we see an amazing response by community. A group of community volunteers started the Community Build Project in September to build 12 tiny homes for some of the seniors living without homes in our county. And that project is now fully funded. They have 12 tiny homes under construction. They'll all be down at the Methodist Church in Port Hadlock. Bayside has funding for 10 more units of housing at their location in Hadlock. And Habitat kept their builds going by using AmeriCorps volunteers. The shelter and OLECAP obviously continue to navigate a difficult situation with the shelter and the fairgrounds. So still a lot of work to be done, but so much good response, and we just have to keep that going. You know, we have a long way to go for housing.
And also another thing that that I'm really proud of is just how we have responded to the health crisis, and then also the collateral part of it, of course, is mental health, and how. And how the community has stepped up to address that situation.
Perhaps the most powerful stories of resiliency that I have heard are the ones that happen quietly among neighbors. And I think that I've seen these small things of delivering homemade applesauce or taking a plant to an isolated senior or a single neighbor who perhaps doesn't have a pod to be with. And I think that our neighborhood groups that were founded by Local 2020 have really resulted in a level of neighborhood connectivity that has made mental health support, that kind of human-to-human mental health support, possible in an even stronger way.
Amen to that. You know, and we have a few minutes left, we're saving this till last because it's so important. It's something that sort of went hand in hand with everything else that was going on this year in 2020, and that's human rights, and what the challenge is to that.
I think the future will dictate how much of a systems changing year this has been, but it has certainly been what could be the start to some anti-racist systems changing work that we all have to do into the future. I want to acknowledge, obviously, the Sklallam tribe on whose land we all reside, and also acknowledge the extraordinary efforts of Black Lives Matter and they've started a chapter here in East Jefferson County. For those of you who may not have heard, we have the Jefferson County Anti-Racist Fund that has started up that facilitates reparations on an individual basis. The city did the Black Lives Matter mural on the street and in Port Townsend. And I think, again, like housing, we have to make sure that this is not a situational response or performative response, but that each one dedicates some part of our lives in an ongoing basis to it, not only diversity, equity, inclusion, but authentic anti-racist action to revisit the systems in which we've all existed for so long and ask ourselves, how do we change to make them more equitable for everyone?
And I might add that even though it happened in the summer of 2019, the Chesmahan Trail, to bring awareness to the indigenous people that settled this area, and also the beautiful totem, thanks to the Maritime Center and Jake Beatty and that gang down there, but this beautiful totem that sits at the foot of Water Street and looks down Water Street as a reminder to so many of these things.
And especially thanks to the talented carvers of the Jamestown Sklallam tribe. I just love the graceful and gracious way that they remind us, persistently remind us that this is their land and that we have so much to learn, and what incredible contributions they've given us, tools they've given us to continue on our journey as occupiers of that land, to learn how to be in reverence and in support of their leadership.
Well, Siobhan Canty, thank you so much for being my partner and company these past months. And this is our final edition of Community Tides for 2020. on Alternative Fridays at 12:15, usually, with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and co-host Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson County Foundation, to talk about new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal facing Jefferson County as we roll into 2021, leaving one of the most challenging years in our history and our community's history. So thank you so much, and we'll be back in January. Take care, Siobhan.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.